This is the second audio file on the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act for the public archaeology class. Now, the basic principle of NAGPRA is that it is property law. So it transfers ownership of property from whomever holds it to the Indians or Indian tribes who have made successful claims for the NAGPRA cultural items. So in the retrospective portion of the law, it requires that summaries and inventories in existing collections, that is, collections that existed on November 16, 1990, be inventoried and summaried, or summaries created and inventories created, so that Indian tribes or lineal descendants of the people involved can make claims for repatriation. Now, the law required that summaries of unassociated funerary objects, sacred items, and objects of cultural patrimony be made within 3 years after the law was passed. So technically they were due November 16, 1993. The law also required inventories of human remains and associated funerary objects that were supposed to be done within 5 years after the law was passed. So that would have been, they would have been due November 16th, 1995. Unfortunately, the Department of the Interior only issued regulations in 1995, and some organizations, including some federal agencies, took the position that they didn't actually have to do anything until they had regulations to provide guidance. And so, you know, a lot of organizations, or some organizations, including some government departments and bureaus, only started working on this in 1995. And in some cases, it took them many years to comply with it. And so, and there probably are still some collections out there that have not complied with the retrospective portion of NAGPRA. But that quantity is an ever-diminishing amount because there was an unknown but finite number of archaeological collections that existed on November 16th, 1990. And so eventually that will be, you know, that backlog will be eliminated. Now, what happens with this stuff? Now, the summaries, which are only of unassociated funerary objects, sacred items, and objects of cultural patrimony, are supposed to be made public, and they're supposed to be shared with, potential claimants. And in fact, they're supposed to be, both the summaries and the inventories are supposed to be developed in consultation with culturally affiliated Indian tribes, because if you don't talk to the Indians, how do you know what's a sacred item or an object of cultural patrimony? So they are supposed to be, or were supposed to be, involved in both the summary and inventory processes. So we've, you know, agencies and museums that receive federal funds were supposed to create summaries of those three types of objects by 1993. And inventories, which are more detailed than summaries, were supposed to have been made of the human remains and associated funerary objects by 1995. Again, as with the summaries, inventories were supposed to be registered with the Department of the Interior and shared with potential claimants, and essentially made public information so that people could file claims for the repatriation of these materials. And so that is basically what happened. You know, these things were done. Summaries and inventories were made, inventories being more detailed. And they were made public, and they were registered as appropriate or as required with the NAGPRA Review Committee or the NAGPRA Office in the Department of the Interior. I think it's actually in the Park Service. And tribes made claims. Unfortunately, the whole process is a little bit confusing and somewhat ambiguous, and has been somewhat difficult to administer. But basically, it worked. Now, just so you know, there is a specific priority or order in which claims of repatriation or claims for repatriation should be adjudicated or respected. The individuals with first priority for claiming repatriation are lineal descendants of the people, of the human remains, and associated funerary objects, or some of the other NAGPRA items. After lineal descendants, and note that lineal descent is determined in accordance with the traditional kinship system of the Indian tribe, not based on ours. So it could be, you know, the mother's brother's son or something like that, rather than, you know, just, you know, lineal descent according to English primogeniture or something like that. So they go first to lineal descendants, and then the next in order of priority is tribes whose land the objects came from, and then next is tribes that are culturally affiliated with the remains. In practice, there are relatively few claims from direct lineal descendants. Most of the human remains and other NAGPRA items that are in collections are anonymous or ancient, and we don't know who the lineal descendants are. In other cases, the tribes on whose land something was found are not actually culturally affiliated with the material. So, classic example of this, there are a lot of Puebloan ruins on the land of the Navajo Reservation. The Navajo Reservation is quite large, and it covers big chunks of the ancestral Puebloan homelands. Well, you know, the Navajo didn't really want that stuff, and the Puebloan peoples didn't really want the Navajo to have it. And yet, the two groups have not gotten along for 1,000 years. And so there was a lot of dispute about where that should go and whether the legal mechanism really existed to transfer or repatriate it to the appropriate claimants. In many cases, federal agencies or museums didn't know exactly who was really the most appropriate culturally affiliated group, and so or whether there was really a direct line of descent from the ancient group to a particular existing modern group that met the definition of Indian tribe in NAGPRA. And so, you know, the tribes would get together and they'd pick one tribe who would become the claimant, or the organization that was repatriating the remains would just, you know, sort of give it to all the tribes and they would split it up, or they would give it to one. You know, what really happened is that what you often find is that there are a number, sometimes a large number, of sort of potentially descendant tribes, all of which are cousins, but none of which have a very clear and unambiguous claim of cultural affiliation. And, you know, so museums and federal agencies have been sort of not really following NAGPRA to the letter. And ultimately what happened is the Kennewick Man court decision prohibited what a lot of organizations had been doing, saying that it was just clearly not provided for in the law. Now, the prospective portion of the law says that federal agencies have to consult with tribes before excavating NAGPRA cultural items. Now, this may seem like a minor requirement, but the fact is that in North America, at least, it is almost inconceivable, well, no, it is very likely, or possible that any archaeological site that you excavate could have NAGPRA cultural items in it. And so that means that federal agencies under NAGPRA are really required to consult with Indian tribes before excavating any archaeological site. And many federal agencies have either found this burdensome or not complied with it. But there are actually mechanisms available in the law to streamline the consultation process. And I think many federal agencies and tribes also have adopted some of these methods to streamline, like comprehensive agreements, for example, to streamline the process of consultation so that, you know, you don't have to go through the 30-day or 45-day waiting periods every time you want to do something. You know, I mean, in some parts of the country, you might have to contact 25 tribes before you stick a shovel in the ground anywhere. And, you know, if they don't answer or they say we'd like to consult, then, it, you know, the 30 days becomes 60 days, becomes 90 days. And it just becomes, like, very complicated and time-consuming. It gets hard to do anything. And so both tribes and federal agencies have had a longstanding interest in trying to figure out how to streamline the process. And I think in most cases they've succeeded in doing so. Ultimately, if during excavations NAGPRA cultural items are found, then they end up getting repatriated to either lineal descendants or Indian tribes following the same order of preference or priority that is specified for the retrospective portion of the law. And you can get up to 5 years in jail for trafficking in Native American human remains. And that's a pretty serious penalty, as well as fines. And so that's clearly prohibited. Finally, under the prospective portion, if human remains or NAGPRA cultural items are found during an excavation, during any kind of earth-moving activity or construction, are found unexpectedly, there are specific unexpected discovery provisions in the law. And basically, it means that if you see a human bone sticking out of your pipeline trench, you need to stop work immediately. And normally you stop work for at least 30 days. Although in theory, if the cognizant agency, federal agency, has a pre-existing agreement with the appropriate Indian tribes, they may be able to resume work more quickly than that if the material can be appropriately excavated and handled. So in summary, NAGPRA provides both for the protection of human remains and other Native American cultural items, as well as for the repatriation of such items from old existing archaeological collections, as well as from new archaeological collections that are made currently or in the future.